Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom, readers and listeners. Today we have a health article for you, and we are going to be talking about simple steps for better health. And I can't believe that it's already the end of November. And today I have two guests with me in the studio. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, everyone. I'm Campbell.
And I'm Lois.
And I'm Linda. And we're happy that all of you can be with us today, too. And if you have your magazine with you or your digital device, turn to page 42. And you'll see that we're going to be talking about simple steps for better health. So, Campbell, do you feel like you're healthy?
I try to be healthy. I think health is very important. I think that's one of the most important things that anyone can have. You know, you can have a lot of money, but if you don't have health, all that money is useless.
That's right. How about you, Lois? Do you feel like you're healthy?
I think that's a fluid word. Why I say that is there are times in the year that I feel very healthy, and there's often times in the year that I don't. And I'm the opposite, I think, of most people. I actually feel a lot healthier in the winter than I do in the summer. For some reason, summer food gets me. I think it must be that ice cream and those burgers and the barbecues and the picnics or something.
Okay, how about you? Do you feel you go in a cycle of health?
I think I've been blessed with a good body, and you know, I try to eat well and I do take some supplements, so it does help me to stay healthy, I think.
For each of you, what do you feel is your biggest health challenge? We're going to be talking about like 6 points here over the next 3 days that health experts are talking about or doctors are talking about. But what do you feel like is your biggest challenge?
I think for me, two things, cutting down on sweets and exercising.
How about you, Lois?
Oh, it'd be one that's yours too, Linda, because we've talked about it. It would be potato chips. And then when I'm home, it would be potato chips with really good dip.
Okay. Yeah. I think mine is a combination of all three that everybody just said. Okay. Well, if you have your magazine, why don't we start reading our article and then we can talk more about it. Okay. And we are going to read the first little section in the left-hand column on page 42.
Simple steps for better health. Useful tips from doctors and other health experts to keep you healthy. Ways to lose weight when the odds are seriously stacked against you. It's easy to blame genetics, lack of sleep, and a bunch of other scenarios seemingly out of your control for packing on the pounds. Clearly, it's not your fault, right? Not so fast. Sure, these obstacles can make weight loss harder, but experts say you can override them with the right approach. Here's how to lose weight, even when the odds seem stacked against you.
So we see that we're going to be taking a look at simple steps for better health. And after reading the article, I think that there are some very good ideas here. Probably not a lot of new ones, but ones that are worth revisiting and talking about, and maybe some that we forget about. Mm-hmm. And so we see that our subtitle says, Useful Tips from Doctors and Other Health Experts to Keep You Healthy. So what's one of the major problems here? It says, ways to lose weight when what?
When the odds are seriously stacked against you. When we say that when the odds are stacked against you, it means that you're unlikely to succeed because you're not in a good position.
Okay, and I like that word, seriously stacked against you.
Yes.
That means you really have a lot of odds against you.
Right.
Okay, and what do we usually blame?
Well, sometimes we blame maybe our jobs, what we do for a living. We might blame our commute. We might blame our family. And we sometimes maybe blame lack of funds. I'm thinking lack of funds being lack of money to maybe have a gym membership.
And if we look at our article, we see that the first thing that they blame is genetics.
Interesting.
I like to blame genetics.
When we say that we blame genetics, we just mean that you're blaming your genes. You're saying, oh, well, you know, this is my body, and this is just how it's created, and I'm just more prone to get fat, or I'm just more prone to have high cholesterol.
Right. Or, yes, I got it from my mother.
Right.
Or I got it, you know, it's hereditary. And also, I think this is an interesting one that a lot of us don't think about, lack of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And notice here that we're talking about losing weight, because that seems to be the overriding factor here for being healthier.
Mm-hmm.
So lack of sleep and a bunch of other scenarios seemingly out of your control for packing on the pounds.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of an interesting sentence.
Yeah.
So these two, they name two of them, and then they say a bunch of other scenarios. What's a scenario, Lois?
Well, I often think of a scenario as a different incident, a different story, different description.
So when we started, you gave us several scenarios before we actually looked at the article, right?
Right,
like
I did.
Lack of money for a gym membership,
right,
that kind of thing.
Right, and I'm also thinking here, you know, maybe we are blaming genetics, but I know in my case, compared to my 20s and 30s, I don't sleep as well. And I've noticed since I don't sleep as well and don't take enough time for sleep, I do pack on the pounds. Mm-hmm. That seems to really affect me.
Yes.
Well, also gives you more time to eat.
Exactly. That might be it, Linda.
And I like this phrase. It's called packing on the pounds. What is it, when you hear that, Campbell, what does that make you think of?
Well, you know, when you pack something, you're putting it into something, right? And so when we pack on the pounds, I think it just means that you're gaining weight, you're getting heavy. But there is a key word in the sentence that I really like, and that is seemingly.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Seemingly. Yes. It just means that it seems to be these reasons, but is it really these reasons?
Well, clearly it's not your fault, right?
Right.
So it's right, and we all think, yes, it's my genetics. But the author says here, not so fast. Sure, these obstacles can make weight loss harder, but experts say you can override them with the right approach. And this word override just means that, you know, you can refuse to accept it. You can do something about it.
Yes.
Okay, you don't need to let it run your life.
Right.
And make the decision for you.
Yeah, sometimes in my head I'll say, stand back from the table, Lois. And that usually means, you know, you've had enough to eat. And actually, you know you have had enough to eat, but you're still eating.
Right. My friends and I call it grazing. Okay, the article says, here's how to lose weight even when the odds seem stacked against you. And again, that's what we said at the beginning of this paragraph. And I do want to point out that this article comes from Prevention Magazine. This is a great little magazine about health, all kinds of health issues. It's one of my favorite, you know, little.
Right.
It's not a pamphlet, it is a magazine.
It is
right.
A magazine.
It's just small.
And sometimes they have, I know you've probably noticed this, Linda, some great magazines, or, I mean, some great recipes in their magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Or I find also they have some great ideas for beverages that don't add up the calories.
Right, yeah. Right. And I think this is a new trend in medicine, the preventative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So taking care of your body before it gets sick. So keeping your body healthy and rather than waiting till you get sick to go see a doctor.
That's right. All right, let's take a look at our first kind of tip that they're going to be talking about, okay? So we're continuing to read on page 42 in the left-hand column.
One, you're on meds that make you gain weight. Several types of antidepressants, specifically Paxil and Zoloft, increase appetite, while others can cause you to feel lethargic by lowering your heart rate and making it harder to work out. Both can lead to eating more or moving less. Either way, you have choices, says Dana Simpler, an internist with Mercy Medical Center in Baltimore. If possible, ask your doctor to replace your medication with one that doesn't cause weight gain. If your meds trigger cravings, keeping your blood sugar stable can help you combat them, says Amy Goodson, sports dietitian for the Texas Rangers. Ideally, try to eat 5 to 6 small meals a day, with a whole grain and lean protein at every meal and snack.
So, Lois, it says here that if you're on medication, that might make you gain weight, mm-hmm. right?
Right. And I think for females, this is often a thing that happens with us, whether it be medication that we take younger, and whether it's medication maybe in our middle age and then later life. And most females will say, this is packing on the pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they've noticed weight gain.
Right. Well, we see here that in particularly here, they're talking about antidepressants, which is becoming a lot more acceptable, I think, in the last 20 years than it was, you know, maybe 30 or 40 years ago. If people become depressed, they're often, especially chronically depressed, they are often prescribed antidepressants. And they're talking about two specific types of medicine here, Paxil and Zoloft. And notice that these two increase appetite, okay? Some can cause you to feel lethargic by lowering your heart rate and making it harder to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel lethargic, Campbell?
All the time.
Well, we know your excuse.
No, I think when you feel lethargic, you just feel sleepy. You don't have energy. You just kind of just want to sit there and do nothing. And
mm-hmm.
I think lethargy, that's the noun, lethargy in me. Also, travel, sometimes with jet lag, you just feel very lethargic.
Right.
You just want to sleep.
Right. But here, that lasts for, well, maybe your lethargy is going to last a while because you have two young children.
Yes.
But, you know, by taking medication, you know, you need to look at the side effects of medication to see what kind of effect it's going to have on your body.
Right.
Exactly. I know when I feel lethargic, I often just say, why am I feeling so lethargic? And then I actually try to pinpoint it. So mm-hmm. I try to think of things that have been happening maybe in my week or my month that I feel that way.
Right.
And then you're addressing them, like Linda just said, and then maybe you have some solutions, and they don't necessarily have to be medication.
Well, I think that that if you're taking medication, you know, there are some things that you can do to help counteract maybe
the side effects.
Yeah, the side effects, the obvious side effects of feeling lethargic, because you feel that way because your heart rate is lowered, and then you don't want to get moving, you want to sit on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it says that both can lead to eating more and moving less. So kind of interesting there. It's like a double whammy, as we say. You
right.
get hit twice by two things that both are not good for you.
Right.
And then either way, you have choices. And this is an internist that's talking from Mercy Medical Center in Baltimore. And she says that ask your doctor to replace your medication with one that doesn't cause weight gain. That seems pretty simple.
Yeah, so it's having a conversation with your medical doctor, right?
Mm-hmm. And we know that there are a lot of different kinds of medication that do almost the same thing or the same thing. So this gives people hope that there's something out there that won't cause lethargy or make you feel lethargic so that you can keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, if your meds trigger cravings. So what does trigger mean?
When it trigger, it causes, so it makes you feel hungry, it makes you want to eat. So when you have a craving, it means you desire something, you really want it.
Yeah, it's no longer I need it, I want it,
okay.
I am going to find it.
I like the definition in the magazine that says, a strong or uncontrollable want. So we're talking here about, yeah, we can't control this desire. And usually when we're talking about cravings, we're talking about some kind of food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then what's important about this? She goes on to say something else. What's important?
Well, she says keeping your blood sugar stable can help you combat them, which is a good idea. So you have to know your body, your own system. And this is Amy Goodson, who's a sports dietitian for the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. Ideally, try to eat 5 to 6 small meals a day with a whole grain and lean protein at every meal and snack. So I think that's even more more of a desire or more what we should be doing as we age. It often is a thing that women have to do when they're pregnant as well.
Right.
Well, it seems like blood sugar has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, for sure. I've actually taken some classes on this and done some studying. Blood sugar, actually, when your blood sugar drops too low, it actually triggers hormones in your body that makes you want to eat, you know,
those
sugary
cravings.
Stuff. Yeah, and that stuff is actually going to cause you to pack on the pounds and store fat. So if you can keep your blood sugar level steady, you're not going to store as much fat. In fact, it's going to up your metabolism, and you're going to be able to burn more fat. Just on the word combat there, it can be read two ways. You can say combat or combat. So actually, both are okay.
Okay. And one of the ways to stabilize your blood sugar is to, according to Amy Goodson, eat 5 or 6 small meals a day. That's really not possible for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it says you need to be careful about the kind of snacks you take with you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it definitely takes preparation. You know, maybe you want to keep an apple or some sort of fruit, you know, with you. And you can take some granola bars, something small, maybe
nuts,
a piece of bread.
I usually carry almonds.
Yes. So just something that you can eat quickly and eat next to you.
And I think the last part of what she says here, probably a lot of us know, whole grains.
Yes.
So when we talk about whole grains, it's the opposite of processed white bread.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. And colored bread. You need to actually have the whole grains in there. So, and lean protein at every meal and snack.
Right.
So what's a form of lean protein?
When we talk about certain nuts, okay, or soy products, chicken.
Salmon for sure.
Yeah.
Salmon, yes.
White meat, fish, that kind of stuff. So not pork, not beef. Those are not lean proteins.
And if you do eat them, you need to make sure you're not eating the fat that's on them.
Exactly.
You know, they tell you to cut away the fat.
Exactly, before you cook it.
Right.
Right. So the key here, and this is going to sound weird, but the less legs something has, the better it is for you. Right?
So right, like, the fewer legs something has, yeah.
Right. So like you have the beans and the nuts, they don't have any legs. You know, the fish, they don't have any legs. These are healthier for you.
Or chicken.
Chicken has two legs.
And try to stick to the white meat.
Right.
I know some people really like the dark meat, but you know, it just takes a while and you'll like the white meat as much as Western people do, because when I was a kid, we only liked dark meat, and then our mothers kept making us eat white meat, and now I like it better.
Okay, so that's a good point. You know, think about how many legs an animal has.
That's really good.
Okay, so this whole topic is about taking meds that make you gain weight, and what we can do really to try to fight against that. Besides changing our medication, you know, we need to keep our blood sugar stable. And then let's take a look at the second point that they're going to talk about. And now we're on the right-hand column of page 42.
Two, you're unable to exercise. Whether you're recovering from an illness or injury or otherwise can't get in a single minute of exercise, you can still lose weight, says Tom Holland, exercise physiologist and author of Beat the Gym. Turn your situation into an opportunity to change your workout routine. Maybe you could try a less strenuous workout. He adds, keep in mind that 80% of losing weight is about nutrition, so build better habits around your eating and focus on what you can control.
All right, so here our second tip is talking about exercise. I think a lot of people complain that they don't have time or they're unable to exercise. Well, what can we do about that? Well, we have some tips here.
Right, and what are some conditions that we really can't exercise?
Well, often a condition can be that we've had an injury, a really bad one, especially maybe if it's one that stops us from walking or running or riding a bike, and there's also illness.
Mm-hmm. And the third reason is you can't get in a single minute of exercise. But according to Tom Holland, you can still lose weight, right?
That's right. Yeah, I often use that last excuse. I say I have kids, I want to spend time with them, I don't have time to go to the gym. Yeah, I think we all need to make time for exercise.
Right.
But Tom Holland, who is an exercise physiologist, gives us some tips. And a physiologist is someone who studies the body.
Right, and how it operates. And he's an author. He wrote this book called Beat the Gym. It doesn't mean go out and hit it. It means how to get around it, okay,
right,
and still lose weight.
Yeah, and you know, somebody like me, I don't like gyms because I really like to be outside to exercise. That's just the way I am, always have been. So I just make it a habit to add something that puts me outside to get exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think of things like, you know what, Lois, you can get off at the bus stop two or three bus stops early, so you have to walk the rest of the way
mm-hmm.
home.
Yeah.
Or I look at things, you know what, folks, I know you don't want to hear this, but exercise and at home can happen with ironing your clothes, with
mm-hmm.
cleaning your house.
Sure.
And also we can do some things like even I think of standing on the bus, standing,
right,
holding the rail instead of sitting down.
Right, taking the stairs, things like that. Yeah.
Right. Even if you take the MRT, I always walk up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good.
But if you're unable to because you have an illness or an injury, then you can turn your situation into an opportunity to change your workout routine.
Right. So maybe you're used to doing lifting weights, you know, or running on a treadmill or just running in general, but you can do something less strenuous.
Right. And less strenuous means less vigorous or
mm-hmm.
less rigorous. Instead of lifting weights, maybe you can just push your arms up or move
right,
your arms.
Mm-hmm. Right. Keep moving, right? Especially as you age, that is key. Please, folks, keep moving.
But I think this is the most interesting quote in today's article. He says, this physiologist says, keep in mind that 80% of losing weight is about nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
It is not about how many weights you lift and how many miles you walk. It is about nutrition.
Right. So that idea, so I feel like some people have this idea that as long as they exercise, they can eat whatever they want. But that's not true. You know, your food is your fuel, so you want to make sure you're putting good fuel in your body.
I just found this so interesting. I was listening to a talk show, and you know, oftentimes, I can't remember who the actor was, but actors and actresses often have to lose weight or gain weight
mm-hmm.
to for a role that they're going
That's
to play.
Right, right.
And I can't remember who it was, had to lose a lot of weight for a role.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He said this very thing. He said, yes, I exercised, but the biggest difference was it was what I ate. It
mm-hmm.
was not about exercising.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I
yeah.
had to really cut back on everything that I ate to lose the weight I had to for this part.
Right, right.
Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was about exercise. And there goes my excuse.
Right.
So it's about nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about bad nutrition,
right,
as Campbell's saying.
Right.
No, it's eating the right things. When Campbell says you want good fuel for your body, you know, he's comparing to an automobile.
Mm-hmm.
You want good fuel in your automobile.
Right.
And, you know, I know myself because my body tells me, Lois, you've been eating nothing but junk.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hear it. It's like I go to bed at night and it's like it's screaming at
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know, you're right, I haven't been eating enough fruit and vegetables. And, you know, I think the more we eat clean and hopefully maybe some organic, raw fruits and raw vegetables, that is so good for us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not slather on all this oil or deep fry it or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you cook certain vegetables, you actually get kill the nutrition. So being able to eat it raw or you know, barely cooked is best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Sometimes when you read about vegetables, I think it's a good thing to like look at how to prepare them
mm-hmm.
for the most to get the most vitamins
mm-hmm.
out of them.
Right.
Because some of them, as you said, do need to be slightly cooked in order to have the vitamins and minerals released from them.
Right.
Right, and that, and in those incidents like you're talking about, Linda, it's really good to steam them. I've been steaming my vegetables since I got married over 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you really keep a lot of the nutrients in your vegetables that way.
But I think a lot of it is about developing habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says build the result of being able to lose weight is build better habits around your eating and focus on what you can control.
Right.
Because we're talking about the situations of being out of control. I have an illness, I have an injury, and I can't really be as active as I was.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be careful about what you put in your body, as we've been saying.
Right, for sure. I think it's easy to think that health is this huge issue, but if you take the little steps and do the little things, then you'll be able to get the right health that you're looking for, you know. And when we're talking about better habits around your eating, we train our tongues to crave certain things. You know, we train our tongues to want more salty foods or more sugary foods.
Mm-hmm.
But if we learn and we start eating and disciplining ourselves to eat less of that processed food, we start craving it less and less.
That's right. So I think the key here is to build better habits. You know, it takes discipline.
I'm really glad, you know, talking about this, I'm really glad I had a healthy breakfast this morning. I'd be feeling really guilty right about now.
Well, we thank you for joining us today for Simple Steps for Better Health. As I said earlier, we have 6 tips that we're going to be talking about, and we've discussed 2 of them. So if you want to hear about the other 4, you need to join us again tomorrow. We'll be here waiting for you. Bye for now.
Bye.
Goodbye.